Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Chores. We're talking some Packers football, as always. Plenty to talk about. It's the NFL owners' meetings taking place this week. We've got to talk about that. We haven't been on air since last Friday, so there's been a couple developments since then. In case you lived in a cave. Perhaps you've heard the Packers have had some free agent losses. I guess I got to start with that, seeing as that's the last time I addressed those situations. I know you've heard about these things and have probably discussed them amongst yourselves ad nauseum. You've read plenty of articles, seen plenty of analysis. I'm late to the party, I guess. But story number one, Greg Jennings trading in his green and gold for purple and gold. That's right. Former Packers wide receiver Greg Jennings, now a member of the Minnesota Vikings, joins them in free agency. Happened last Friday, right? I think that's when it happened. We actually had Railbird Central in the morning, and then it happened late in the day. So he takes the trip to Minnesota. They woo him, meets with the head coach, meets with the general manager, meets with Jared Allen. And they don't let Greg Jennings leave without a contract. And what it came down to is the Vikings offered, I wouldn't say they maybe necessarily offered more money in terms of, average per year. It was probably very similar to what the Packers were willing to offer. But you can't just look at it like that. The Vikings offered Greg Jennings a 5-year deal. That is what wooed him to Minnesota. You know, the Packers, I can't imagine they were willing to maybe give him any more than 3 years. Maybe 4, probably not 5. That is what wooed him to Minnesota. And you know what? I can't blame Greg Jennings. You know, I thank him for his time and service spent as a Green Bay Packer. He helped him win a Super Bowl. Had a huge Super Bowl game, in fact. But now it's history. Now he's going to the division rival. And you know, of course, what's interesting is how many ex-Packers have gone to Minnesota. Brett Favre being public enemy number one, I guess. Not quite the same as Brett Favre. Greg Jennings going to Minnesota isn't quite the same as Brett Favre going there. Not going to move the needle quite as much, but still notable. You know, as well as, Pro Bowl safety Darren Sharper, kicker Ryan Longwell, former, second round draft choice Robert Ferguson. All these guys going to Minnesota, and that isn't to mention the guys who have flirted with going to Minnesota, like James Jones, the NFL's leader in touchdown receptions this past year, courted at one point by the Minnesota Vikings, although he didn't sign with them as a free agent 2 years ago. Aaron Kampman, courted by the Minnesota Vikings, actually signs a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. You remember this years ago, Aaron Kampman is a restricted free agent. I mean, we're talking, what is it, 2006 or before that even, when this happened. But yeah, signs with the Vikings as a restricted free agent. The Packers have the right to match, and they do. And so he never goes. But yeah, Aaron Kampman actually signed a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. People forget about that because he didn't actually go there. So yeah, there's all these instances of Vikings joining the Packers. Vice versa. But yeah, Greg Jennings is gone. The Packers wide receiver core is a little bit more depleted now. Everybody else has got to step up, James Jones being one of them. But count Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in that club as well. And even guys like Jared Boykin and anybody else the Packers may add in the NFL draft. Going to be key for them to keep that offense explosive as it has been when Greg Jennings was with them. So, it's interesting because, I mean, Greg Jennings was a big part of this team, a big part of this offense. You know, came here in what was it, 2007 he came? It was a second-round draft choice. Has been a big part of the team, a big part of the community. Greg Jennings is a nice guy. He's kind of gotten big time a little bit, doing all these national television campaigns for Old Spice lately. But I can't blame him for moving on. He's doing what's in his own best interest, and I would do the same thing if I were him. Not sure I'd handled it in exactly the same way. You know, he kind of made waves a little bit this week as he, picked the brain of Brett Favre about going to Minnesota. I don't know, what the conversation actually entailed, but we know that he actually did talk to him. I don't think it's that big a story, but whatever. People get up in arms about that. They have been, at least. And Greg Jennings was not the only free agent to leave Green Bay on Friday. Another one left on the same day. Tight end Tom Crabtree leaves Green Bay to sign as an unrestricted free agent with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Crabtree, the cult hero. Tom Crabtree, everybody's favorite Packer. The guy who you thought might never leave the Packers. That was kind of my feeling. I thought he would be more valuable in Green Bay than he would anywhere else. Not necessarily the case. Not that the Packers didn't show interest. They wanted to sign Tom Crabtree for, as reports go, basically the NFL minimum plus a small signing bonus to sweeten the deal a little bit. But in kind of the same fashion as Greg Jennings, although not quite to the same level, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just gave him more security. They gave him a two-year deal, whereas the Packers were offering one. And you can argue with the money the Buccaneers offered Tom Crabtree, they didn't exactly break the bank, that maybe the Packers should have done the same thing. Maybe they should have stepped up to the plate a little bit more. It's tough to do because, I've said this many times, Tom Crabtree's been a former weekly guest of Railbird Central. During the 2011 season, we had him on here every week. And I thank Tom Crabtree for what he's done for this show, for Cheesehead TV, just for being a awesome dude in general, being a man of the people. He just has such a character. It just so generous with his time, so open to meeting fans, the charity work he does, all these things are fantastic. When it comes down to it though, when you're analyzing Tom Crabtree as a football player, he's just a role player. He filled his role to the utmost of his ability, though. For a guy who has marginal NFL talent, he maximized that talent to carve himself out a niche in the NFL, becoming a good blocker, whether it's in the pass game or the run game, and a special teams player, and really a locker room leader. And to that end, I mean, Tom Crabtree is admirable in my eyes. But, you know, the Packers, of course, have fairly decent depth at the tight end position, at least for the time being. We don't know what's going to happen to JerMichael Finley beyond 2013. And by the way, it's almost certain, almost 99, probably over 99% certain that JerMichael Finley will now be with the Packers for at least 2013. You know, after you lose Greg Jennings, after you lose Tom Crabtree, you can't afford to lose too many more targets. You know, he is under contract for 2013. It's just kind of a matter of, you know, would they trade him away? Would they cut him? And will he be around beyond 2013? I think they're going to put off that decision. They're not going to sign JerMichael Finley to a contract extension anytime soon, I don't think. I could be wrong. I've seen people argue for that. Say, sign him for extension, but less money. You know, I don't know. I don't know how JerMichael Finley would feel about that. He obviously would like the years, the security more years on his contract would bring, but I don't think he wants to sign for less money. But is he going to get a better deal anywhere else? Well, it kind of depends maybe on how this season goes for him. He's still young. You know, he came into the NFL as, was it a redshirt sophomore? You know, he didn't spend long in college. So didn't spend a whole lot of time there. So he, you know, by NFL standards, he's still pretty young. But anyway, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons the Packers let Tom Crabtree go is because they have a lot of depth. Not only do they have Tom Crabtree, they now have DJ Williams and Ryan Taylor, guys who, you know, presumably their roles will expand. I mean, first they have to make the team. I mean, those guys haven't played so great that they're guaranteed of a roster spot, although it's certainly easier now with one competitor out of the way. They also kept Bostic on the roster, the practice squad all year last year. Kind of shows you they like what that kid provides, and he could be a contributor as soon as this year. You know, keeping him around in Green Bay to see what he's got. And that may not necessarily prevent the Packers from, again, adding a tight end in the NFL draft as well. So that's what happened. Those are the recent free agent losses for the Packers. And, it is what it is. The Packers are not getting involved in free agency, or at least to the extent that maybe fans want them to, because they have so much money that they're going to be due Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews in the very, you know, near future, foreseeable future. How near? Hard to tell. You know, that's been one of the topics of conversation at the NFL owners' meetings this week. Of course, that's what's happening right now. Started on Sunday, actually ends today. Today's the NFC Coaches Breakfast. Could be happening any moment for all I know. Of course, they're out there in Arizona, aren't they? They're that's the West Coast. They're like two time zones different from the Central time zone. So things happen a little bit later out there than they are here. Anyway, the NFC Coaches Breakfast today. Mike McCarthy will be meeting with the media, and there will be plenty of news coming out of those conversations that happen, that occur, that take place today. But, you know, things that have happened already. Of course, the rule changes are, you know, a big topic. Everybody in the NFL kind of following that, the proposed rule changes. But, you know, as things pertain to the Packers, you know, Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, Mark Murphy, they've already met with the media out there. You know, everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers' contract because they know, you know, he's so far behind his quarterback brethren in the NFL that it's, you know, everybody sees the writing on the wall and knows it's time to pay him. Mark Murphy saying that, you know, the Packers aren't going to be cash strapped when it comes to signing Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get his. It's just a matter of when it gets done. You know, it's there's so much talk about. There's almost like an article written every day on it. And you know, in fact, Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting yesterday, which Zach Cruz here at Cheesehead TV wrote a blog post on it, basically saying the parameters being discussed, and I don't know if this is speculation or he's actually talked to Aaron Rodgers' agent about it. I'm doubting that, but saying a 4-year, $100 million extension is kind of the parameters. You know, what's on the table or maybe what's expected. And you know, that's on top of the 2 years Aaron Rodgers already has left on his contract. You know, just adding 4 years to it. That report from Schefter, or maybe it's speculation on his part, it kind of flies in the face a little bit, and not totally, but you know, I there's an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today written by Tom Silverstein, who's also out at the NFL owners meetings, kind of talking about a contract extension for Aaron Rodgers that could be anywhere, I believe he says, from like $120 million to $160 million, and says depending upon the length of the contract. So, you know, the numbers he threw out there, not exactly though the same as Adam Schefter. In fact, the numbers Tom Silverstein throwing out there, even a little bit longer in terms of the amount of years offered to Aaron Rodgers. And that could be a case. You know, the Packers aren't going to want to let Aaron Rodgers test free agency anytime soon. You know, they're going to want to lock him up for basically the length of his contract. You know, basically make him a Packer for life. And who's to say what happens at the end of Aaron Rodgers' career 10 years from now? I mean, he could go out and end up being a backup for a year or two somewhere else. That's kind of not really our concern right now, you know. But, you know, basically giving him a lucrative contract to remain a Packer for at least the starting portion of his career and the peak of his career. So that's one topic being discussed out there in Phoenix, where the NFL owners' meetings are this week. Other things being discussed, other things happening, are Mike McCarthy talking about the Packers, changes happening within the organization, the Packers' health situation. You know, I think the discussion probably started a lot with the Packers' health issues. And this has been documented everywhere from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Green Bay Press Gazette, ESPNMilwaukee.com, the beat writers that are out there. A discussion basically starting with the, you know, the Packers injury situation. They've had such injury, such heavy injuries the past, you know, two out of the past 3 years. Basically 2010, the Super Bowl season, then again 2012 here this past season. A lot of injuries occurring. A lot of players missing time, players ending up on injured reserve, you know, all those things happening. So, you know, how are the Packers addressing that? Well, Mike McCarthy got to that saying, you know, a lot of changes taking place. They're taking a look at how they, you know, treat injuries, how the doctors, you know, the trainers, how they treat players and how they're, you know, maybe perhaps more willing to listen to outside, you know, sources now, or collaborate with other physicians, trainers, listening to what they do, and more open to letting players train the way they have with their personal trainers. The Packers getting updates in the nutrition department. Apparently they're going a big whole new nutrition department, or, you know, cafeteria. A lot of organic food, things like that, I guess. You know, not providing intimate details, but Mike McCarthy basically cluing people in as to the changes taking place in Green Bay this offseason and how they structure their offseason program. You know, it was kind of new this past season how everybody in the NFL basically had to adjust to the rules of the new collective bargaining agreement that made the offseason a little less strenuous, quite a bit less contact for players. You know, so that's one thing that's going on. You know, other discussions here. I see a question from Joe on the live blog. Hey, Brian, what are the chances that Johnny Jelly makes the squad in 2013? If he is under his new contract, that should show the Packers staff he's worth it, right? That was other news coming out of the NFL owners meeting that Ted Thompson basically said there are still hurdles to clear when it comes to Johnny Jolly. Yes, he accepted the lesser contract, which basically he had to. Whether it was with the Packers or not, even if Johnny Jolly were released by the Packers, he isn't going to go sign a big contract for another NFL team. Everybody else realizes taking on Johnny Jolly would be a risk, and he would be signing basically an NFL minimum contract anywhere he went. That's out of the way. The next thing they got to do is talk to the guy. You know, Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy, Johnny Jolly, probably his agent, got to sit down and just see where he's at. And is, you know, where he's at in his recovery from this drug issue, and you know, if this is going to be, if he's going to be a problem or not. It, you know, basically what I'm going to think is going to happen is Johnny Jolly, I mean, he has no choice after spending 3 years out of football, has no choice but to play the role of good soldier and is going to be like, I will do anything. You know, I have to imagine a lot of his money is gone, although I don't know that. You know, he's probably spent a lot in just plain old legal fees the past few years. And so, you know, I think he's going to play that role of good soldier and going to say, I'll do anything. And then he's got to prove it. I think the Packers will let him go through the offseason program, OTAs, minicamp, stuff like that, so he can work out in the Packers weight room. They can see what kind of athlete they got. Things go well during that time frame, the May-June time frame. Well, they bring him into training camp, and they see even more. They see him what it's like when the pads go on in training camp. They get some preseason games under the belt. They've got all those opportunities to analyze what Johnny Jolly brings to the table. And, you know, and they make a decision from there. It's so hard to see, you know, what the Packers do in September with Johnny Jolly. You know, because that's what I think it'll come down to. He's going to go through the whole offseason program. I think he'll go through training camp. I could be wrong. But then it's going to come down to a decision in September, and they're going to be like, well, do we want to keep this guy who's now over 30 years old and is a risk? You know, all it takes is one problem for Johnny Jolly during the middle of the season, and he just screwed things up for the Packers. Instead of keeping Johnny Jolly, they could have kept some younger rookie that they could have developed instead. You know, this is all hypothetical I'm saying here, but, you know, that's what the Packers have to weigh. You know, is it worth it to keep Johnny Jolly, or is it worth it to develop a young rookie that could be the next Johnny Jolly, at least from an athletic and you know, impact standpoint? That's what the Packers have to weigh. Tough one. If I had to make a guess, if I absolutely had to make a guess, it's yes, Johnny Jolly will be on the Packers 53-man roster in 2013. So much, though, to play out before that happens. So much to play out. Question from Corey on the live blog. I'm glad to see all these new faces here at Railbird Central. Corey, Joe, Zub. You guys don't join us very often, or at least you don't join the conversation very often. So thank you. But Corey asks, what is the ideal backfield for the Packers come September in your eyes, Brian? Interesting you asked that, Corey, because I just finished up writing the Packers backfield analysis for our NFL draft guide. You can see a little advertisement there scrolling on the bottom of the screen. And you know, here's what I feel about the Packers backfield. I think the only sure thing in there is DeJuan Harris. And I'm not sure what role DeJuan Harris plays in the Packers backfield in 2013, but I think he's assured of a roster spot, and I think he's assured of being a contributor. I really love what DeJuan Harris showed last year, albeit, you know, he's still got a lot more to prove. He's young, and you know, there's not a lot of guarantees with him. But he did enough to prove himself a roster spot at minimum. So you got him. He's the small scat back type. And I think the Packers need a guy like that. They've been going with their feature backs so much these past few years of power guys. James Starks, Ryan Grant especially. And these guys have not worked out. You know, they have. I shouldn't say they haven't worked out, but I mean they haven't been like these awesome Pro Bowl type running backs. So what I think you do is you complement the quickness of DeJuan Harris with a young power back in the NFL draft. You draft a guy like Eddie Lacy of Alabama, like Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State, like Stephon Taylor of Stanford. You grab one of those guys in the NFL draft. Those guys are all big and powerful. They bring the thunder. DeJuan Harris brings the lightning. That is my hope for the Packers backfield. And then you probably have somebody else on the roster. You probably have a Cedric Benson, although I think if the Packers draft a running back, Cedric Benson doesn't come back. I think that's how it'll go. Or you have Alex Green, or you have James Starks. You have one of those guys to just, you know, keep on and see what they've got. And those guys, you know, Starks, Green, they're such injury question marks that, you know, don't really know what's going to happen to them. Corey S. on the live blog, what about Kuhn? You know, interesting with John Kuhn. What are the Packers going to do with the fullback situation? You know, it was just a few years ago when the Packers carried three fullbacks on the roster to the amazement of the entire NFL, keeping Corey Hall, John Kuhn, and Quinn Johnson. And that it's gone from 3-1 to John Kuhn being the only true fullback on the Packers roster. In fact, you might not even call John Kuhn a true fullback because he's also capable of, you know, being the Packers' halfback in a one-back system. You know, when there's one back in the backfield, he can be that guy. And usually when he is, his job is to be a pass blocker. But he's also a goal line runner, a short yardage runner. You know, he brings a lot of versatility. He's got good hands. You know, he doesn't make a whole lot of people miss in the receiving game, but he's got good hands. He can catch the ball. So John Kuhn brings versatility. He does good things with the football in his hands. You know, he's a secure guy at least. But, you know, the running ability isn't there, and the blocking ability is just average. You know, John Kuhn, the jack of all trades, but maybe the master of none. So, you know, I think the Packers stick with John Kuhn just because I don't know if they're going to find anybody better in the NFL draft. They're not going to find anybody in free agency any better. So I think they stick with Kuhn and you know, take everything that he provides and the versatility he provides and goes with that. I think, you know, perhaps they could do better, but I just don't know if they're going to find better among this year's crop of, you know, this year's crop of fullbacks in the NFL draft is not a real good one. You know, not that fullbacks ever really get a whole lot of attention, but I just know a few years ago there was a much better crop of fullbacks, and Packers, well, they were committed to Kuhn at the time a couple years ago. So anyway, you know, what else has come out of the NFL owners' meetings this week? A discussion of the toughness, the physicality of the Packers. You know, I think the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel kind of had the lead with the story, you know, back during the NFL Combine. Bob McGinn had talked to, you know, head coach Mike McCarthy about it. And now that the rest of the beat reporters are getting their chance to talk to Coach McCarthy, they're catching up to it, catching up to the story. So it's something that's already kind of played out, but, you know, Mike McCarthy has been asked about the physical aspect of this team. And again, it's something we've already discussed here on the show because of the article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So I'm probably not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. But, you know, just interesting here how things have played out with the Packers here the past week or so, and with the NFL owners meetings taking place. So the NFL owners meeting, you know, it ends today. And our focus goes back to free agency, at least for a few days. You know, there's reports that the Packers are interested in free agent running back Ahmad Bradshaw. They're interested in free agent safety Michael Huff. You know, these guys were good guys in their prime in the NFL. And you could still make the argument that they're still in their prime. But there's also question marks about these guys as well. So, you know, after this, you know, tension goes back to free agency and then the NFL draft. So that's what we have to look forward to here as members, fans of the Green Bay Packers. So that does it for a Wednesday morning here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. We'll be back on Friday, so make sure to join us then. And we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Drawers, I'm Brian Caravu. Have a good Wednesday, everyone. Have a good NCAA tournament watching as that starts on Thursday. But I leave you today with a song called Bali Munster by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.